Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You can smell fresh politics in the air.
There's a buzz
around here today.
Very good way of putting it. And matter of fact, I'm going to use that as the next tease on the newscast.
You can smell fresh politics.
Smell fresh politics.
Yes.
But we need to post signs on buildings now. Fresh politics, just like fresh paint.
Do you know I saw some people standing on corners holding signs that said DNC? Like the, you know, to help people get around.
Well, yeah, we've got all kinds of volunteers out here. Yeah. 1,200 volunteers at least.
Yeah, that's a lot.
There was somebody sitting across the street from the building today I saw doing that.
Yeah. I went over there and pretended like I was a tourist.
And what did they say?
I went over and asked, is this the building where the famous Dean Richards show takes place every Sunday morning? And they said, Dean who?
Oh, man.
It's a little demoralizing.
It's the Dean NC. Come on.
The Dean NC.
There you go.
Just smiley people with signs out there. Welcome to Chicago.
And then what? Did you smile back and were you nice to them?
Yeah, of course.
Sure you were.
By your standards of friendly or by my standards of friendly? This is my favorite version of Chicago, my kind of town. Swanee probably knows who this is. He's a big music head.
Boy, it could be a number of big
Doesn't
bands.
It swing? Isn't
no,
it swing?
Yeah. Probably Basie. Count Basie.
It is Count Basie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Butch Miles, the drummer, probably. He's great.
So fantastic. Playing this for all the delegates that are listening this morning. First thing people do when they come to Chicago to elect a nominee for their party, switch on WGN. I don't know how many senators and congresspeople I've heard say, I want to hear the far-flung forecast. I want to hear it the way most people hear it. It's coming up.
We will have it. And this is now the convention after a 1996. I knew we had one in the late 90s, but it was 96.
I remember that.
For the beginning of Bill Clinton's second term.
I can't get over how much this song just kills. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, this is such a good version of that song.
I'm going to say perhaps a Sammy Nestico arrangement. No, I'm not. I'm not kidding.
Andy, is that what you would guess also?
You know, he stole my thunder.
Oh.
I told him that in the break.
He's such a show-off. I'm going to say it was recorded February 23rd, 1970.
It could be Sammy Nestico. He did all the arrangements.
Oh, that's Sammy Nestico, definitely.
Yeah.
Very definitely.
Might be Neil Hefti.
Welcome to... Who did the Batman theme, by the way.
Yes, also, he did.
Neil Hefti. Welcome to the program.
No, you know, maybe it might have been... No, go ahead.
Oh, help.
Let me see if it says here anywhere. On the... I'm cheating. Pardon my clicking.
Click, click, click.
Here we go. Wait a second. Oh, Arranger? Chris O'Farrell.
Chris O'Farrell.
Yeah, I
need him. Oh, sure.
You know Chris O'Farrell?
I know the name.
I have no idea who he is.
Yeah. Sure.
All right, now look.
Thanks for playing that, though. That was a great arrangement.
I'm trying to bring out some little Chicago pride here today.
Absolutely.
I want to feature some Chicago songs today for delegates who are, you know, spinning around the dial, because what else would you do on a gorgeous day in Chicago but sit in your hotel room and listen to the radio?
Of course. And get ready to maneuver around all the street closures.
Holy smokes. I didn't actually run into any this morning, but I printed out the list of all of the closures. I guess they would be mostly near the United Center, right?
The United Center and also McCormick Place, because there's events there tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, there are signs everywhere. There are a lot more people on the streets today. I'm guessing it's because of the convention. Probably people coming in a day early, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
To enjoy all the finer things that Chicago sure. has to offer.
Yeah. Starting on a Monday, they'll come in over the weekend and enjoy the city.
It's significantly busier on the streets this morning with pedestrians.
Mm-hmm. Well, 50,000 people coming into the city.
Right.
Now, I want you to be nice. If someone comes up to you and asks, how do I get to so-and-so or such-and-such a place?
I am like a human tourism board. I have always helped people. I pull people out of the way of moving cars. I pay for their ice cream.
As long as they get it at Original Rainbow Cone, right?
No. I'm here to make their Chicago experience nothing but the best. I offer travel advice even if they don't ask for it.
Even if they don't ask for it.
Sometimes it's correct.
Give them a long-range weather forecast.
Sometimes I give them a long-range forecast, share recipes with them on the street. I'm nothing but helpful.
I'll bet. I'll just bet.
Have you ever approached somebody on the street who seemed to be puzzled?
Yes.
And asked them,
yes.
Can I help you?
I have.
You look like you're looking for something. Can I help you?
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
And sometimes you get a reaction of, yeah. Oh, no, I'll be okay. But then there are times when they'll say, oh, yeah, can you tell me how to get over to here?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I do. I give them very, very good directions. I do steal their wallet.
Payment was due. Come on.
While they seem confused, I do pickpocket them a little bit. But
you know, then there was the time when I gave directions to someone and they said, thank you so much. We encountered this one man a few miles back who was wearing glasses.
Helpful.
And
who was friendly and helpful.
Was very, very rude to us.
Hmm. Not me. I'm telling you, I am a
I know,
tourism
I know.
Board. I love helping people.
Actually, Chicago is fairly well known for that.
Yeah.
Where people will step up and offer a lend a hand.
See somebody looking up at the buildings and they're looking at their phones, or you don't see too many people with maps anymore, but they're like clearly trying to figure out which way to go. And, I'll walk up to people and say, you look like you may need some help with directions. Can I help you with something? And I offer some directions.
I saw someone do that just the other day, actually. I was just a few steps away, and there was a young lady and a child, and they wanted to get to Millennium Park. They weren't far off. They were just a couple blocks away. They were just a little disoriented as to which direction to go.
And you told them where to go?
Someone beat me to it. There was another guy there just a few steps ahead of me. I was ready to help, but he had it all down for them.
Oh, I punched a guy out once because he was getting in my way of giving helpful, friendly tourist information.
Right. Mr. Friendly, as he punches out someone else.
Hey, those are my tourists. Get the heck out of here.
Now, can I help you?
Oh, Shawnee, I thought of you so much yesterday because...
Why?
Let me explain.
All right.
I've been in Los Angeles and New York almost all this past week. So yesterday I was coming home, and I was at LaGuardia Airport.
And been there?
Yeah. It's a gorgeous airport.
Are they done with the renovation finally?
It's gorgeous.
Wow. Okay.
LaGuardia is absolutely gorgeous.
Great. Okay.
Except...
It wasn't when I was there.
No, it was always been a dump.
Oh.
It's always been terrible. LaGuardia has always been terrible, but it's you can't even believe how gorgeous it is now. But so my flight was supposed to be at 5:30. I got a text saying mechanical issues, flight is delayed until 6:30.
Yep.
So I said, it's just an hour, big deal. Relax. Sat in the terminal and spent most of the time, this is where I thought of you, making funny faces at little kids.
And you weren't arrested.
No, it was not. I was not arrested. I think the parents really appreciated because their kids were getting a little antsy. And here comes this clown boy from Chicago.
Did you have a DNC sign around your neck?
I did not, but this is part of my friendly service that I provide to people. I'll entertain your children while you're stuck in an airport delay. And I'm making funny faces and sticking my tongue out at them. And they're laughing. And the parents are, you know, enjoying it also. So I remember that you said that I used to do that through the window at Tribune Tower.
I'll never forget watching you on the closed circuit monitor.
Right.
You know, making some weird face at a kid that was going by. I'm trying to finish a newscast, and I glance up to the screen, and you know, you're doing romper room with.
Well, I can't. You know, the kids looking. You know, they like yesterday. The kids are staring at me.
Really?
They look at you and like they look a little scared. Yeah. And then I make my patented clown face. You know, my funny face with like my tongue and you know, like goofy eyes and all that, and they start laughing. How do you resist that?
You can't.
No, and then the parents did not pull the children away.
No, the parents were laughing too.
Okay. All right.
I think they were. Right before the authorities came.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right before TSA came and took me away. No, it was fine. But
I see some form of identification, please?
Right. I'm going to need to see your clown entertaining license, please.
Will you please follow us?
So the one-hour delay turned into a five-hour delay.
Oh,
lovely.
Yeah.
Five.
I didn't get home till very late last night.
Oh, wow.
I was making faces all right by the time I finally got
you
home.
You were doing more than making faces.
Yeah. But what are you going to do? Mechanical, you know, people are getting upset. I have to be blah, blah, blah. I have to go here. I have to go there. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You want them to fly a plane that's not working?
That's not working. Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah. We had an all-night delay once coming back, really, from South America. It was an all-night delay, but found out later that it was a very important weather component that was on the plane that would monitor where storms are and how they can avoid them.
Yeah.
And so they had to replace that part.
I don't want the airlines taking me up with Band-Aids stuck to the plane.
So, you got home. You got home safe.
Bottom line, I got home. I got home safely, and I had 5 hours making funny faces at kids. So, they got the full Uncle Dean treatment at LaGuardia last night.
Did you try this when you were on the plane also?
I will. I didn't do it on the plane.
I was going to say. Yeah,
because it was late by then, and you know, most of the kids were sleeping by then. But most everybody was sleeping by then. At the airport, though, I put on a full tilt show. It was like Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey. Couldn't have been prouder of myself.
You carry a little app on your phone that plays the theme from Bozo on it?
Yep. Hi, kids. Over here. Look at my gate 28. Here I am. Fasten your seatbelts. I should have that on my phone.
How do you get the cream pies through security?
How funny would that be? If I start making funny faces and kids, then I go to my phone and I turn on the clown music.
Turn on the clown music and then do the big wave that Bozo used to do at the beginning of the show.
Who's your favorite clown?
That's me!
You know what? You got to make the most of these flight delays.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Next time this happens, call me. You can do Bozo. I will be Oliver O'Oliver.
Okay. It's whole new business model here, because there's so many flight delays. They could call. The airlines could call you. They could have you on speed dial.
That would be a very good thing for the airlines to do when there are long delays like this.
Yeah, bring in some entertainment.
Bring in, somebody to juggle or entertain the people while they're sitting in the waiting room like that.
They should have a best of the Dean Richards Sunday morning show on a loop.
Yeah.
That's what they should do.
Well, it's free advice, American Airlines. You're lugging a lot of people to Chicago the next few days. So if we can help make the journey more pleasant, we're more than happy to help out.
That's a very Chicago theme too. I mean, people heading to Chicago, you can do Bozo and
kidding me.
Have Cookie on. Have set up the grand prize game in the terminal.
Yeah,
Marshall Brodeen.
Marshall
do some magic.
Brodeen, absolutely. Yeah. Yes,
Schwani and I in the Admiral's Club talking about doing an Andy Griffith Show seminar.
Andy Griffith trivia.
So, what's your favorite episode, ma'am? When Aunt B is singing Tootsie Goodbye, that's also one of my favorites. I interviewed the cast of Beetlejuice yesterday.
Did you do your Bozo for them also?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Okay.
Be ridiculous. Save that for small children at the airport. Michael Keaton, Catherine O'Hara, Winona Ryder, Jenna Ortega, talking about this new Beetlejuice movie, which I'll be telling you about in a short time. A little later on in the program today, our old pal Vince Vaughn talking to me about his new TV series that he's got that's called Bad Monkey. And when we come back and update the news, Shawnee's got a special far-flung forecast.
Everyone is special.
Yeah.
Everyone.
All right. Well, it's the same as every other one that he's ever done. Then I should mention also, in addition, I was in New York the past couple of days interviewing the cast of the new Beetlejuice movie. Michael Keaton is back as Beetlejuice, along with Catherine O'Hara and Winona Ryder from this classic film from the 1980s. But before that, I was in Los Angeles, and I just wanted to make a quick mention of this, that the memorial for the late, great Bob Newhart took place. And I was honored to have been invited to the memorial. And especially honored to have been invited to speak at the memorial, and it was quite an event. It took place at the Television Academy in Hollywood. There were lots and lots of huge A-listers that were there. I mean, it was a private memorial, so I don't think it's appropriate to go and do some name dropping with all this. But it was quite an event, and I spoke about Bob Newhart's Chicago-ness and how he never lost his Chicago-ness and his sort of being down to earth. But it was quite an event, Schwani. You would have,
I'll bet it was.
Yeah, you would have enjoyed,
and it was an honor for you to be there.
It was.
Wow.
I was incredibly honored,
and to speak, not just to be invited, but to speak.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I think I made sense, too. It was a rare moment.
You did.
Hasn't happened in a long time, but I believe I did make sense this time as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, fellow delegates, it is time once again for your far-flung forecast. Trying to get one of the keynote speakers at the convention to open their speech with this music.
Not for Bob Newhart.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here is President Barack Obama.
I have a quick question.
Yes,
this
sir.
This just came to mind.
Yes.
Who do you think would be the delegate to the convention from Mayberry?
Oh.
Who would it be?
Which of the citizens of Mayberry?
Who would the citizens of Mayberry would be designated to be a delegate?
A delegate to represent the state of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. From the Mayberry
area. From the Mayberry area.
Of course, maybe they came from the big city, Mount Pilot.
Yeah. Well, you know, Andy is the, right?
Yeah.
He's the natural choice.
Yeah. The mayor, perhaps?
Oh, the mayor is a big blowhard.
I know. Mayor Stoner.
Mayor Stoner's a big blowhard. Like him.
Never could tie his tie right.
Otis would be good.
Otis would be wonderful.
Walking into the United Center riding a cow.
And singing, I'm sorry I hurt you, mother dear.
Oh, it'd be good. It would be good. I think Aunt B might be a good...
Aunt B would be, yeah. Well, she's president of the ladies' club.
Oh, you know who would be good? Ellie, who ran the drugstore.
Oh, yes. Yes. Right. Ran for city council.
She ran for city council. She was all about women's rights back in the early 60s.
She would definitely be the delegate.
I think she represents the...
She would be the delegate.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, now that is settled.
Goober and Howard Sprague would be over at the Hilton Hotel dropping paper bags of water out the window. They would be the dopes doing convention pranks.
Howard, Goober, and Howard.
That's a paper bag full of water. That's a good boy, Goober. And now with today's far-flung forecast.
Are you done?
Probably.
Okay.
If you mean career-wise, probably.
Oh, definitely there, not probably.
With today's far-flung forecast, here is Dave Schwann.
Well, thank you very much, Uncle Dean, and good morning, everyone. Get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices because we're staying in Illinois once again. We're going to Litchfield, Illinois, which is about 45 miles just due south of Springfield. Litchfield was originally named Huntsville when it was settled in 1853, but it was renamed Litchfield in November of 1855 after a gentleman named Electus Bacchus Litchfield.
What?
That was his name, Electus Bacchus Litchfield.
Oh, I want that to be my name. Say it again, Electus?
Electus Bacchus Litchfield.
That's a fantastic name.
Isn't it, though? Now, the reason they named the town Litchfield because Electus and his brothers had convinced the railroad to move through that area so they could place shops and terminals. You know, good business.
Of course.
And so they incorporated as Litchfield in April of 1856. But we mention Litchfield because it is on the Mother Road, Route 66, and from the very earliest days was a stop along the way there. It has two marvelous landmarks that associate themselves with Route 66, one of them being the Skyview Drive-In that has been there since 1950. There's another Skyview Drive-In in Belleville, Illinois, by the way.
Is that a good place to get a burger and a root beer?
It's funny you should mention a burger and a root beer because I know a very good place to get a burger and a root beer, and that is none other than the Ariston Cafe that is also in Litchfield and on Route 66. It is perhaps the oldest continuously operating restaurant on the whole road between Chicago and L.A. It's been in business for 100 years. Congratulations to them. And it's been a family affair since almost the beginning. Nick Adam and his wife, Demi, very, very nice people, and WGN listeners, by the way.
Very nice.
Have been there and at the helm of the Ariston Cafe.
Did you get any free stuff while you were there?
No. I knew he was going to bring that up.
It was on the minds of everybody.
Did you get any free stuff?
Keychain. Rabbit's foot? Nothing?
A coffee mug? No.
A thimble?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing. But seriously, it's a marvelous place to visit. And the great food, great service. And certainly...
Andy, he got free stuff.
Had to.
Listen to him laying it on. He got free stuff.
He's gushing over here.
Okay, I'm wrapping this up now.
Mr. Schwann, can we bring you some complimentary dessert?
Would you like a piece of the restaurant?
Oh, boy. All right. Litchfield, Illinois has cloudy skies today. It is 70 along Route 66.
Route 66. We've got our final Route 66 giveaway coming up later on. Some special gifts to celebrate the first 100 miles of Route 66. That'll be coming up later on. Do you want to hear from the delegation from North Carolina? Would you like to hear from the rest of the delegation
yes.
from North Carolina?
Sure.
Hey, John and the boys in the number.
What'll it be, Sheriff?
Well, how about that Ebo Walker the boys do so good?
Well, just hang on to something. One, two, and one.
Mayberry delegation.
Now, Ebo Walker was
from the great state of North Carolina. Welcome to Chicago.
That's the last word that drive Ebo right died. Along the United Center and try to park that
yeah.
car.
Well, Ebo Walker,
you drive down Madison Street right now. All you're going to hear is the delegates going to be asking us, "Where's that Billy Goat Tavern? Want to go down there and have a cheeseburger. Cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger. Welcome to our city. And welcome to the Sunday Morning Show. It's Dean Richards, 720 WGN. Normally we do our weekend health segment here. We had a doctor all lined up, a cardiologist, actually. We're going to talk about all things heart this week. And at the last minute, as it will happen, I guess, with doctors from time to time, emergencies come up. And we had a cancellation, so we're going to take a pass on our health segment for this week. But we'll get it back up and running with some great health topics, as always, for you next week. What I wanted to do was share something with you that was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert the other night. Stephen Colbert is doing his late-night talk show from the Auditorium Theater right down the street here in downtown Chicago all week long. It's got an incredible lineup of guests. He threw out the first pitch at Wrigley Field the other day. He's a Northwestern alum, so he knows a thing or two about Chicago. He went over to, Andy, what's the hot dog joint that's on Clark Street where they use all the foul language? Why am I?
That'd be the Wiener Circle.
Wiener Circle.
Yeah.
The Wiener Circle. Stephen Colbert went over to the Wiener Circle and, they recorded some things there. So I imagine you're going to be seeing a lot of Chicago content on their program this week. But Stephen has said that he wants to provide items for people, things for people to do while they are here in Chicago for the convention. And he said, but he would like to have somebody who is a Chicagoan who knows the area delivering some of these items. So he brought out our pal, Glenn Ellen's own Sean Hayes, to help him with a Chicago community calendar.
Sean Hayes!
Oh, my God!
Sean Hayes, everybody. We'll be right back with Billie Eilish and the Colbert Questionnaire.
Northwestern alum Stephen Colbert. Glenn Ellen's own Sean Hayes getting everybody ready for a week of broadcasting from Chicago. The Daily Show, by the way, also. Comedy Central will be broadcast from Chicago this coming week as well. We'll look forward to that. It's 9:53. Andy, is it too soon for me to be jumping on the Caleb Williams bandwagon?
It's never too soon to jump on that bandwagon. There's plenty of room for you.
Boy, he has it's like sparked a whole new life into the Bears, hasn't he?
Yeah. He and his fellow first-round draft choice, Rome Odunze, who's the wide receiver they picked with a number 9 selection, they have breathed some new life into that building, it seems like that. If you're watching Hard Knocks, you can kind of tell that just from the way that they're being presented and being showcased. But it was kind of cool to watch him, and it's going to sound strange to say, but I agree with Matt Eberflus. It was kind of fun to watch him struggle a little bit, because this is not a guy used to struggling, and you want to see what he's going to be made of, and if he's going to be able to come back from a couple of bad series.
That's what I was going to say, that he, you know, normally when the struggling starts, the house of cards collapses.
Right.
And, you know, we've been there a million times.
Too many times.
But he found a way to get out of it.
Yeah, you know, they keep talking about his leadership ability, and it's tough when a rookie comes in as a quarterback, because the quarterback has to be a vocal person, because you just need to be able to express your feelings about what you're seeing and what a guy should be doing. But it's hard sometimes for a rookie to come in, and especially if you're dealing with a bunch of veterans like he is with his wide receiving core. You have to pick your spots, and it sounds as though he has developed good enough relationships with those receivers and the running backs where he is not afraid to speak up, and he's not afraid to point the finger at himself, which I like to see too.
Yeah, already. I mean, it's going to be exciting.
I like that, yeah.
Schwani, what's your analysis of it all?
Oh, I think it's fine.
They don't call him the best color commentator in the
Decidedly.
Business for nothing.
I'd like to see you join Hamp and OB this season.
That would be fun.
Oh, I think it's fine.
That would be your complete contribution to the show. Hamp and OB argue things out. Andy, as usual, you know, like jumping in the middle, yeah, moderating things, yeah. And then you go to Schwani for a recap.
Instant analysis.
And by the third or fourth week, OB would just get in. He says, "Don't even say it. Don't even go there anymore.
If you say I think it's fine one more time, absolutely."
Search.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Another time that we had a convention here in Chicago. Remember your 68 convention? Schwani and I were but young lads at the time.
We were, but we both remember it.
I remember it very well. I wanted to come down and be part of the action.
Oh, really?
Wanted to take the train downtown. That was my subversive move. I'm going to get on the train and come downtown. I remember in rather explicit terms my father telling me
no,
that if I did that, that he would take my head off. So I wound up watching it on the good old black and white TV instead.
As did I, yes. It was amazing, too, when you're seeing the shots of everything going on at Michigan and Belbo.
Yeah.
You know, at home in Northwest Indiana, but we'd been here. You know, we came to Chicago all the time, and I thought, I know right where that is.
Right.
And look at what's going on there.
What was that statue? Remember the statue that they were climbing on?
That is Kazimierz Pulaski.
Is that Kazimierz Pulaski?
Yes. That is Kazimierz. No, I'm sorry. Stand corrected.
I thought it was
John A. Logan. It's John A. Logan, who was a Civil War general and was also instrumental in founding Memorial Day from Illinois.
And all the hippies. Mostly it was the yippies, wasn't it?
It was the yippies.
The yippies were the more... hippies were, like, stoned all the time, so they didn't do anything. But the yippies were the ones that were... doing all the protesting back
yeah.
in the day.
And it is very interesting to see those of us of a certain age who remember 1968 and that statue in Grant Park.
Yeah.
That statue, as we speak, has barricades around it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. Well, there's barricades all over the place. That I did notice.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like an armed camp here downtown.
The company that makes barricades is doing a banner year.
They're
this
doing
year.
Very, very well between Lollapalooza and this, and you know, other things that are going to be going on. But CNN has a documentary series that's called 1968 that recalls all the turbulent events that happened, I mean, that was a phenomenally pivotal year in the history of the United States, right?
Everything came to a head.
Yeah.
And two assassinations, Martin Luther King, Robert F. Kennedy, just, and Vietnam, which was, you know, such a powder keg at the time.
Yeah, and, you know, another president stepping down away from re-election, LBJ.
Correct.
Said that he wasn't going to run the way now that President Biden has done. And the nomination battle that took place, which is not going to take place this time. But it was quite a year. And, of course, the violence that took place right on the streets of Chicago, right on Michigan Avenue, right in Grant Park. I mean, it's images, you know, burned into the memories of people of how then the old Mayor Daley, you know, told his police officers to go after him, go get him. I was always under the impression that the famous quote from the old Mayor Daley, shoot to kill, was related to the Democratic convention. And it was not. Did you know that?
I think it was because of the demonstrations right after Martin Luther King's assassination.
That is correct.
Yeah, on the west side.
That is correct.
Shoot to kill or shoot to maim.
Yeah.
Shoot to maim.
I always thought that that was related to the 68 convention. But I recall images of the old Mayor Daley on the convention floor, you know, screaming and yelling. You know, and the speakers on the platform criticizing Mayor Daley for creating this police state, you know, right?
Yeah, they were.
Right on the streets.
He was not happy.
No, Mayor Daley was not. This was a little bit of a press conference that the old Mayor Daley had regarding the violence that was taking place on the streets of Chicago.
The confrontation was not created by the police. The confrontation was created by the people who charged the police. Gentlemen, get the thing straight once and for all. The policeman isn't there to create disorder. The policeman is there to preserve disorder.
Yeah, gentlemen, get the thing straight.
Preserve disorder. The ting. Get the ting straight.
Get the ting straight once and for all. Man, those were crazy times.
Boy, they were indeed.
Sorry for excluding you from this, Andy.
It's okay. I don't remember much of it at all. Yeah. I was
you were like
you were three.
Old, yeah. I was a year old.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. No, I know. Well, I mean, this is history, though.
No, I mean, obviously, I've read up on it and seen documentaries on it, and
the CNN documentary on the year 1968 was the first moonshots. It wasn't just bad things that happened. It was an unbelievable year in the history of the world, really, that was going on. I highly recommend that if you see CNN playing it, or I would imagine it's something that you can pull up and must be streaming someplace. It's very, very, very interesting, but a lot of it is focused on Chicago, and a lot of it is focused on things we would rather forget in Chicago.
And it's, you know, this is over 50 years ago now. And back in 1996, you know, there was a lot of talk. That was the first convention held in Chicago after 1968
right.
because of all of this, the disruption. And there was a lot of talk about, you know, are things going to be okay? Are we going to see a repeat of this? And we're seeing stories like that again now.
Of course.
You know?
Of course. Well, I think now there's a lot more chance of protest and things going on outside of the United Center, outside of the actual nomination of Kamala Harris that will take place. In 96, I don't remember. Were there protests outside?
Nothing significant.
Yeah.
We had a G8 summit here a number of years ago. And
Love their vegetable juice, by the way. I could have had a G8.
You could have had a G8. There was a little bit of a blow up on the near McCormick Place when that was happening several years ago.
Yeah.
But it was pretty much contained to that area and was put down pretty quickly. But I don't think there were any permits issued for protests in 1968. You know, that just, everything came to a head and boiled over and erupted.
Yeah, that just erupted. And, I mean, really, that sort of set the tone for protests in the street, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For those kinds of things. I mean, there certainly had been protest marches and things prior to 1968, but... never like that, never like, spontaneous combustion like that, and never on live television before either. That was another thing that just as we had seen the JFK assassination play out on television and Lee Harvey Oswald being assassinated on television, live television, this was another case where this massive anti-war protest. This was a protest against Vietnam at the time that was playing out on live television, and watching Chicago police trying to deal with this massive group that had come to march in downtown Chicago that year was unprecedented. It was unlike anything that we had seen before. But we were riveted on our television sets. I mean, if you're old enough to remember it, you probably watched it on your black and white TV the way Schwani and I did.
And don't forget what they were chanting. The whole world's watching.
Yeah. And the whole world was.
Yeah. Yeah, I can still see that playing out. Yeah. Watching a black and white TV also.
Right. Right. Well, hopefully things will go much smoother this year. Hopefully everybody will be able to get their say in. You know, it's like the mayor has been saying, it's like our police superintendent has been saying, people have the right to protest and to have their say. They do not have the right to destroy the city at the same time. So, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out. All right. You going to be out there covering it?
We will be. We meaning the WGN radio news team.
I want you up front, though.
You want me there?
I would like you to be up front. I want you to be the Mike Wallace of 2024.
Mike Wallace was at many a political convention over the years. I want you to be outside with your DNC sign, smiling and being very cheerful, trying to help people.
During the protest.
Yes, right. Excuse me. Are you lost? Do you need help?
Are you looking for the Museum of Natural History? Can I direct you to...
Did you want to go to the Art Institute?
Would you like to see the architectural tour?
I'll take you there.
Golly. Fun time to be in the...
When they walk away, I can see you following them. You know.
Wait, come back.
Oh, no, wait. I'm here to help you,
wait.
Really.
Wait, come back. I haven't told you about the Art Institute yet.
And the reason we still call it Sears Tower.
And deciduous trees.
And deciduous. Oh yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's how you disperse a crowd.
Oh, yeah.
You get a big protest crowd out there. I'm telling you, you put Schwani right in the middle of it.
Megaphone and all.
And he starts his deciduous leaf explanation. That'll disperse a crowd in no time.
Yeah, they'll be running for the hills. We don't have many hills here.
Those are the days.
It won't be far away now.
No. No. On a serious note, though, I mean, we'll be all over covering it, both here on WGN Radio. I know WGN TV, they have been preparing and planning for months and months and months to be at the best vantage points to bring whatever may happen. They will bring it on WGN TV and therefore on here on WGN Radio as well. So we'll look forward to complete coverage of all of that and see how things shake out. It's going to be an interesting year.
How about, yes, ready for an exciting week, really.
That famous movie quote, buckle your seatbelts, it's going to be a bumpy ride. Did you ever have an opportunity to meet Mike Royko?
Well, you might say. I saw Mike Royko a number of times. I never had a conversation with him. There was, as you may know, Dean, there was an unwritten rule back in the Tribune Tower that if you walked by Mike Royko in the hall, you didn't talk to him. That's what he was. That was the word around there. You know, he'd be lost in thought and just walking down the hall, and I never spoke to him. I saw him several times at the Billy Goat, as a matter of fact, but never had a conversation.
I don't think I ever saw him there.
Oh, I did numerous times.
Of all the years.
Especially in 1984 when the Cubs won the division.
Yeah.
he was celebrating.
He was a huge Cubs fan. Yeah. He was a huge Cubs fan. But I don't think, as you say, you know, we all had to walk in the building and out of the building, and we'd go downstairs and get a sandwich.
Right. That smaller cafeteria that they had there.
You know, things like that. But I don't think I ever ran into him there. Yeah. I don't know what I would have said. I would have been hamana, hamana, hamana.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah,
because he was so legendary and so outspoken in all that he said and did and wrote. And isn't it an interesting thing to think about of what would Royko be like in today's world of social media and, you know, the cable news channels and, you know, news being delivered virtually. I wonder how guys like him would deal with all of that. Would fare with it all.
Yeah. I given his sense of humor, I think he would write the most brilliant parodies of stuff that would appear on Instagram or Facebook or something, and he would turn it into a conversation with Slats Grobnik at the Billy Goat.
Yeah, the fictional character that he often wrote about. I think of that with like guys like Roger Ebert.
Yeah.
And Roy Leonard, even. Roy was really before social media, which has turned everything upside down. Social media has turned everything, especially, you know, these hardcore newspaper guys that used to sit out and bang out a story in front of a typewriter, you know, how they would deal with Twitter or, you know, what is now X, not Twitter or Instagram or, you know, getting so much instant feedback from people. Usually, you know, much of the feedback is so nutty, how they would deal with it all. And now AI and all that. It's very interesting. This one-man play that we're going to talk about in a minute is called Royko, the Toughest Man in Town. It'll be opening at the Chopin Theater, and we'll tell you all about it with the man who plays Mike Royko in the show, coming up next. It's 10:39. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Maybe nobody said what they wanted to say better, more cleverly, more bitingly than the great Mike Royko, great Chicago newspaper columnist for both the Chicago Tribune and the Sun-Times. Royko went after City Hall, went after the old Mayor Daley, as we were talking to him, and went after all things inequity that were going on in the city of Chicago at the time. A new production is about to open, a world premiere, as a matter of fact, called Royko, the Toughest Man in Chicago, which will be at the Chopin Theater beginning September 5th, running through the 29th. The show is a multimedia production from writer-performer Mitchell Bishop, who takes us back in Royko history, I guess you might say. Mitchell, it's great to have you on the show with us today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Dean. It's great to be on.
So talk to me a little bit about from where this idea came. I guess I'm a little bit shocked that there hadn't been a Royko production in all these years prior to this.
I grew up in Barrington, and I a little younger, so I didn't quite read newspapers all that often unless it was looking for movie times. And during the pandemic, I was researching some work to create a new one-man show that I was working on, and I stumbled upon Royko's work, and I just went on a tear, reading as much as I could, and I thought, you know, this is really viable stuff, and all this stuff is happening today in our modern world, and some of it was written 60 years ago, and I just felt like it had to be written, at least, you know, and if it could connect with a modern audience, that would be great. And, you know, all I was wasting was my time if it didn't. So that's sort of how it came about.
That's very interesting that that it took a younger man to accidentally stumble upon the work of Royko. This is not the work of an older person who is being nostalgic for somebody that he grew up, you know, reading in the newspaper every day. I mean, Royko was 34 years in Chicago newspapers, 7,500 columns that he wrote, but it was often the first thing that you did when you picked up a newspaper. Back in the old days, when you really did pick up a newspaper, you'd go to page two, you know, to see what Royko was writing about, and you stumbled upon it all as well. What were your first impressions while you were reading these great columns?
I was dying laughing, and then I'd turn the page, and I would start crying because it was so beautiful. You know, I couldn't believe that these masterworks were in newspapers every single day, and how just they cut to the core, and how someone could, you know, one moment say something so poetic, and another moment say something so outrageous, and then wake up the next morning and do it all over again. And then you see the body of work that he had, you know, like you said, 34 years, the three major Chicago newspapers, over 7,500 columns in his life. The guy wrote five columns a week every single day for almost that entire time. It's incredible. And so many of them are just absolute poetry.
Yeah, I had forgotten about the Chicago American. I was thinking,
or the Daily News.
Was it the Daily News? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
The Sun Times, Daily News, and then finally the Chicago Tribune, where his works would be featured every day. And this was a time, you know, we're kind of focused on the Democratic Convention today, with everything getting ready to start at the United Center tomorrow. Taking us back to 1968, where Royko wrote some of his best work about one of his favorite targets, the boss, the old Mayor Daley, Richard J. Daley, back then. You must have really enjoyed digging into some of that, where newspaper guys didn't go after politicians in the way that Royko did the old Mayor Daley.
Yeah, well, you know, and it was such a surprise, I think, for people reading this stuff, because also Mayor Daley was what seemed like, at least from my perception back, you know, looking back, was that he was universally liked or universally feared, depending on which side of the coin you were on. And so to have somebody take shots at the way he, you know, stumbles on words, the way he talks, the way he would hire friends and family, the way they'd let, you know, people who were pretty corrupt still get jobs in the administration in the city. And Royko was going after all of it. And he would, you know, do all sorts of things to get stories and to hear what the mayor was saying or what they were doing. And it seemed like an endless well of entertainment. So you'd think other reporters would have caught on, but they never really did.
I'm so curious to hear about how you deal with this in your one-man show. Let me take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about that. Mitchell Bishop is the writer, performer of Royko, the Toughest Man in Chicago, the new show that will be opening at the Chopin Theater September 5th, running through the 29th, all coming up next. It's 10:48. Dean Richards Sunday Morning, our Week in Theater segment. Today talking with writer, performer of the brand new play that is so quintessentially Chicago. Story of Chicago columnist Mike Royko. Royko, the toughest man in Chicago, in a 1982 interview on WLS TV on the AM Chicago show. Tim Weigel at the time was guest hosting and had Royko on as a guest and talked about all kinds of things, including a series of articles that Royko had done just trashing the Northwest Indiana area, and asked him, about the repercussions of that.
Well, you know, I don't remember who it was. It was Daniel Burnham who said, make no small plans. And I don't see any reason to antagonize one person at a time when you can antagonize an entire state. It gets everyone involved. They really have a boredom problem in Indiana, if you've ever driven through Indiana. And this is probably the most exciting thing that's happened in that state in a long time. And I've had letters from people saying this. You know, they really thank me for making them people aware of, in Indiana, aware of where they are. A lot of them kind of wander around. They're not sure. They wake up in the morning. And so since I started this thing, they've sort of banded together with this great community spirit of hating me. And which is a good thing. One person said that that in Indianapolis, I've probably stimulated growth. Now all the moneyed people in Indianapolis are upset that I call them hicks and whatever I don't recall. I said it was a boring place, and so they're going to contribute more money and build another cultural center and something to impress the rest of the world.
So in other words, you've been sort of a catharsis for improving Indiana.
Yeah, that's really what I'm doing. I've been helping that state. And
but I mean, I understand, of course, that it's sort of fun. And you know, the interesting thing to me is that, I mean, you have really slandered these people in so many words, and yet they're taking it with a smile. I mean, they're laughing at it, and it all seems to be quite good natured. Now, some of your other flaps have not been so good natured.
They're not that good natured in Indiana. I mean, you haven't read my mail.
Well, that's true.
But some of them are taking it in the proper spirit. Well, sometimes people get upset at things I write, but it doesn't last. I mean, after a while they realize this is silly. Why be upset?
Okay. Well,
there's Mike Royko in a 1982 interview with Tim Weigel, a series of articles that he wrote about the state of Indiana. That must be so inspiring to you, Mitchell, right?
Oh my God, it's hysterical just listening to that, you know. And we get a couple shots in the Indiana in the show, you know, in honor of. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, I went and did a deep dive, like I said, not only in the columns, but listening to him and reading books on him and reading Boss and going through many YouTube videos, anything I could find, him calling a Cubs game with Steve Stone.
Yeah.
Just to sort of get to the heart of it. And also I became a fan while I was writing this. So I really wanted to just see anything I could of him. And you'd hear a story or something, yeah, like the Cubs, him calling the Cubs game, and I couldn't find it for a long time, and I obsessed about finding it. Or I'd read a column. He had a great column where, this is in the 60s, where there was a fan who ran onto the field, and Mike Ditka stepped out of the huddle during the Bears-Rams game and knocked the guy out. And it's this clever column where Mike calls the kid up, and the guy says, geez, you know, no one's ever asked me about this, you know? And he says, well, why did you go on the field? So I guess something I had to do. And anyway, they had this video of Ditka knocking this kid down, and for about a year I couldn't find it, and suddenly it pops up, and it was so gratifying to see just this, you know, 4-second clip of this, because I had been reading about it for so long.
But that really just kind of informs you, doesn't it, about the character of Mike Royko, the spirit of Mike Royko.
100%.
As you're putting together this dialogue on his life, I mean, does it start? Is the show biographical? Is it sort of a greatest hits of greatest columns? How would you describe it?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. You know, it's more of a greatest hits of great columns that he wrote. It's also, you know, it's less biographical and more about Chicago at the time, the newspapers at the time, and it's all sort of filtered through the lens of Mike Royko. So I use basically 90 to 95% his own words taken from interviews and columns and put them together to tell the story. And some of it is the story of Chicago. Some of it's the story of him, little bits and pieces of his personal life, but mostly his reaction and attitudes and other people's reactions and attitudes to what he said.
Yeah. Do you have favorite stories that he tells or favorite moments in the show?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a beautiful, I don't want to give too much away, but there's this really beautiful, he was so good at painting a picture and telling the story of someone who sometimes you don't even really think about. And one of those pieces is this woman who owns a dry cleaning and tailoring store in California Avenue. And, you know, it's not just the business that she runs. It's the community that hangs out there. And, you know, her store hours are 9 to 6, but anybody can come by it on a Saturday night and ask for their clothes. You know, she's so connected to the community. And he takes that and he, you know, says, well, but now, you know, that woman's gone. And now what we have are these big places full of glass and plastic trim where a guy presses a button and the rack moves faster than the lady can, you know, get your tag for you. And this is progress and this is benefit of efficiency and change, you know, and it doesn't ever really make a distinction of which is better. It just says, this is the way things are,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that moment in the play, I really love. And I know that it really connects with audience members because it's so beautifully written.
Yeah,
and speaks to something in us of watching sort of the clock go by in our lives and watch things that were good and bad sort of, you know, go the way of the dodo.
Yeah, he you know, definitely had a way of tapping into every man and in that special style that he had. I can't wait to see the show. It's Royko, the Toughest Man in Chicago. It'll be at the Chopin Theater, 1543 West Division, and tickets for the limited run, which will be September 5th through 29th, are on sale at royko.brownpapertickets.com, royko.brownpapertickets.com, and the writer-performer, Mitchell Bischoff. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us, and thanks for this great piece of Chicago history that you're putting together.
Thank you, Dan. I really can't wait for people to see it.
So do you think that we have a lot of delegates listening to the show today?
Well, I would think we would have some people visiting the city that was looking for a radio station that would be providing the latest and best news, and that would be us. So, yes, I think we would have.
Yeah. It's right on all the tourist brochures when you come to Chicago. It's Sunday morning. There's one place to go.
Only one place to go.
And that it would be 720 WGN. And now, is your picture on the is your picture on the brochure is Mr. Helpful?
Yes, with my arms stretched, like, here, let me give you a big hug.
The helping hand.
Yeah. Like, here, please, tourist, let me give you a big, warm hug.
And he will make faces at your children, too.
Well, I'll make a face at anyone that you want. However,
at airports, in train stations, everywhere.
I'm only trying to spread joy. Don't make it sound like it's a weirdo Dateline thing going on. See little kids, and I make funny faces at them, and they laugh. Is there anything wrong with that?
No, no, there isn't. There isn't.
Scrooge? All right. So given all that hospitality that we've just talked about, I have a contest right now. But if you're from someplace else, don't call in to win.
Oh, no, that's really being very
well. I've got some stuff
hospitable.
Here. I want to give it to people who live here. I want to give this, you know, people who live in the Chicago area. If you're coming in from, Paducah, Kentucky, you can't enjoy some of these things.
I mean, that's like saying, well, you can't play with us.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what it's like.
Nonetheless, you're Mr. Helpful.
Yeah.
Helping hand.
Yeah, get out of here. You know what? We didn't want you here in the first place.
Oh, real nice.
Yeah, thanks for clogging up our streets for the next week.
Yeah. Taking up all our parking spots.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't walk down the streets. Yeah.
Chicago Tourism Office must be thrilled with us right now. All right. Anybody who wants to enter, I can't exclude. I'm not allowed to exclude, but I've got a $100 Lamont downtown gift card to give away to use at one-of-a-kind eateries and shops in the village of Lamont, and also a $100 ExxonMobil gift card to fuel your adventures on the first 100 miles of Route 66. Brought to you by the Illinois Office of Tourism and the first 100 miles of Route 66, fueled by the Heritage Corridor Destinations. Visit WGNradio.com/contest for your chance to win the ultimate Route 66 prize pack worth over $1,700. Okay, we're going to include everybody.
How are you going to do this?
Are we including everybody in this?
Yes, we
yes,
are.
We are.
Even you out-of-town slackers out there? Don't even know where the village of Lamont is?
Very easy to look it up these days.
Yeah. They're busy looking for deep dish pizza.
So what do we have to do in order to win here?
You have to be the sixth caller on the phone line.
Okay.
312-981-7200.
Let's see. 312.
Well, you can't win. Oh, okay. Don't you dial the phone. 312-981-7200. Yeah. You're our next big winner at the very hospitable WGN. Jack Hammer, who is our big winner of our Route 66 giveaway?
It was Joan in Waukegan.
Very nice. But we didn't get some interloper coming in from...
No, we got someone from here.
Alaska or someplace.
Made sure it was a home team player.
Attaboy.
Very good. That's what the hammer does.
Very good. The hammer. Don't mess with the hammer is our, that's our motto here on the Sunday Morning Show. Producer Jack Hammer, as he is now known. Let me see here. Shawnee, do we know who is speaking when for the convention this week? I know President Biden is speaking tomorrow.
Speaking tomorrow, right? And also Governor Pritzker speaking tomorrow. And then Vice President Harris will be closing the convention Wednesday.
But we have President Obama.
Obama will be here
President
Tuesday.
Clinton.
And Hillary. I think President Clinton and Hillary. Also Michelle Obama. But I don't have a specific breakdown for those.
Of which days?
Of which days yet. Yeah.
Okay. All right. They're probably busy enjoying Chicago. Well, they follow, you know, the Obamas. Are the Obamas staying at their house? Do they still have a house in Hyde Park?
I'm told they do, but I don't think they're staying there.
Because I'd like to go hang out with them.
You would want to be out there with your sign, being the helping hand,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, I'm going to help tourists, but I don't think it would be a bad idea if I, you know, stop by. Like, do we know where the Clintons are going to be staying?
No, I don't know where the Clintons are going to be staying.
They used to always stay at the Sheraton Hotel.
Right across the river.
Right across the river from us.
You want me to wave?
Is that where they're going to be?
I don't know, but you know, we can see the hotel. Andy and Jess and I can just kind of wave real big and see what kind of a reaction we
see
get.
Who waves back.
Yeah, or get some other type of gesture.
Say, I've seen some waves come.
I can imagine when the curtains are open. There's some things going on over in that hotel that we really shouldn't be seeing. What about Vice President Harris? Where's she staying?
I don't know this.
Shwani.
I don't know where they're.
You're busy running a newsroom there. You should know.
Well, I have many things to do running a newsroom, but you know, I'm not going to go visit them at the hotel. And I know that's what you want to do.
I do want to go visit them at the hotel. I have a welcome basket for them. I put together a nice basket.
A nice fruit basket.
Well, it's not a fruit basket exactly. No. It's I've got a corned beef sandwich from Manny's.
Oh, terrific. There you go.
I've got some deep dish pizza from Lou Malnati's. Although it should be explained to them that natives don't really eat deep dish pizza. We prefer thin crust pizza. I have to explain that to people from out of town all the time anyway. What else do I have in here? I've got a couple of scoops of rainbow ice cream.
I was going to mention, you've got to have that.
Yeah.
Now, you better get it to them before it melts, though.
I got some Chicago hot dogs in there, of course.
Mm-hmm. No ketchup.
And that's from Gene and Jude's with the French fries on top of it. Mm-hmm. And also in the basket, I've got a couple of Italian beef sandwiches.
From where?
Let's say Mr. Beef.
I was going to say, let's go with Mr. Beef. Yeah.
let's say Mr. Beef.
Okay.
I was going to take it over to them. Not. Hi, President Clinton.
Yeah, lots of luck knocking on the door.
Hi, it's me, Dean. I brought you some food. And if I did a Clinton impersonation, this is where I'd go. Well, come on in, Dean.
Come on in.
Let's enjoy a nice corned beef.
I don't eat beef sandwiches anymore, but I sure do like that ice cream.
Oh, he's Mr. Healthy Pants now.
That's right. Yeah, after the heart attack and the surgery. Mr. Healthy.
All right, well, if anybody knows where they're staying, I would like to know. So
I don't think that's common knowledge.
Some people are guessing on the text line. I don't want to mention it because they might be right.
Yeah. Just leave it at that.
Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Boy, people are spilling their guts on where these people are staying.
Hmm.
217 says the Clintons will be staying in their Winnebago. All right. Well, it's 11:19. So this past Thursday, I was invited to the memorial for Bob Newhart in Los Angeles. The Newhart family was very kind in extending an invitation to me to attend and also invited me to speak at the memorial, which I was beyond flattered. And because it was a private memorial, I'll just say that there were a lot of super A-list celebrities that were there to pay their respects to Bob. But because cameras weren't allowed, recording devices were not allowed, I think I want to respect the privacy of all that, but it was a pretty A-list filled event, one at which I felt, you know, I'm not worthy to, you know, be part of this, but Bob's family and I guess my long relationship with him dictated that they wanted me to come and talk about, you know, Bob. And I talked about his Chicago-ness. I talked about, you know, everybody knows about all the sitcoms. Everybody knows about you know, all of his TV and movie success. But I took it back further. I took it back to going to St. Ignatius College Prep. I took it back to going to Loyola and where he began his comedy career, doing these, you know, prank one-sided phone calls with a buddy. You know, they would do it just to amuse themselves, and recordings of these one-sided prank phone calls became available to DJs, and, you know, among them, the great Wally Phillips of WGN fame, who was very close friends with Bob. And Bob, you know, was here on WGN radio and television quite a bit. Those earliest recordings became Bob Newhart's Grammy Award-winning The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart album, which became the album of the year in 1960, Best New Artist that year, as well at the Grammy Awards. And I thought, you know, with the Democratic Convention starting and the shaping of an officially shaping of a presidential campaign, it's worth going back to one of Bob's classic and one of his very first comedy routines that he ever did. Abe Lincoln versus Madison Avenue. Madison Avenue trying to make Abe Lincoln more presidential to sell.
Right now, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Newhart.
11:38. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for our Dean's List, A-List interview of the week. Among the things on those channels, a brand new series out. It's kind of a new detective series, I guess you might say, with a very quirky, comedic sort of twist called Bad Monkey. It has just premiered on Apple TV Plus. The first two episodes are streaming right now on Apple TV Plus. Remaining episodes will premiere weekly on Wednesdays. And Bad Monkey stars, among others, our longtime pal Vince Vaughn, who, you know, we know from so many great movies, from some great TV series, and now he is back with this brand new series, something that we talked about with him on a Zoom chat. We talked about the series. We talked about him growing up here in the Chicago area, Lake Forest in particular, and a bunch of other things. And also, you know, there have been so many celebrities that have just, you know, openly come out for one candidate or another. I imagine we're going to be seeing a lot of celebrities at the Democratic Convention this week. But I asked Vince about the idea of celebrity endorsements or endorsements in general, and whether or not, you know, he thinks that there really is any effect to an A-lister coming out for one candidate or another. And there have been A-listers coming out for both sides of all of this. So that should be interesting. But it was just great to chat once again with our longtime pal, Vince Vaughn.
Good to see you, brother.
How you doing, man? It's been way too long.
Way too long. Great to see you.
It's always good to see you. And I was just thinking, I was sitting here waiting, thinking about when you jumped out of the airplane at the Air and Water Show.
That's right.
And then came over to our WGN studios, like, right after. It's like, that is a friend right there. Jumps out of an airplane and then comes and does an interview with us. So
yeah, that was fun. That was good memories.
Yeah, that is good memories. We're just enjoying summer in Chicago, and you know what? I was wondering, like, you know, when you were growing up here, what were your favorite things to do summertime in the Chicago area?
You know, summer was so special for us. It would last forever, those summer days. As a kid, I just, you know, of the age I was, we were given so much freedom. You were just out with friends, and at night you'd play flashlight tag, and, you know, during the day you would just have so much time to walk around and explore. And then in the city, it was just so much fun in the summertime. It's so many great things to do in the city, and so many great summer festivals and things that go on there.
Yeah,
I also like the winter. I always like going to Lincoln Park during the holidays, and or the zoo, and walking around, and always anyone could walk in, and that was always fun as well.
Yeah, I'm with you 1,000%. The winter doesn't bother me. There's always something fun to do around the Chicago area.
I find it a creative time. You go to the museums more and, you know, go around and have more time to kind of develop stuff, think of stuff.
Yeah, are you back having a place in the Chicago area? I know you did downtown at Lake Forest and this and that. Or
I was at a place at downtown forever, but no, I come back usually every summer and spend some time there, depending on what's going on with work. Haven't had a place there, but would like to have a foot back home for sure.
All right, well, we'll look forward to that. In the meantime, Bad Monkey, executive producer and also starring in... What kind of challenge is it, Vince, to put something like this together and really make it different and stand out? And this, to me, this has like the Vince Vaughn signature all over it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was always a fan of Carl Hiaasen and Bill Lawrence. I've been sharing. I've known him for over 25 years. We used to play in a poker game when we were both unknown. He was a stand-up comic and always made me laugh. We always had fun. It was one of those silly games where the dealer got to choose what the game was. So there was more joking than there was serious betting. No one had a lot of money. But I've gotten to be a fan of his throughout the years and watching him. So when he came to me with the idea, I was super excited. It's a tough tone to pull off. And I felt really confident, you know, with Bill being at the helm of it, because you take the stakes real, the crime is serious, but the personalities are funny, and the characters you meet are funny. So the tone is really the challenge with something like this, you know, having you buy in as an audience to the caper, but also enjoying and having fun with the characters and the turns.
Yeah, you know, we've got the Democratic Convention coming into Chicago, and we're doing a piece on celebrity endorsements. A lot of, you know, A-listers are voicing their opinions, and I'm not really looking for like political endorsements, but I am curious about your take on the value of celebrity endorsements and of personalities who, you know, chime in on, you know, political scenes.
Yeah, you know me well enough. I think everyone gets to pick their own lane with that stuff, and some people feel impassioned about it and really feel a calling to do it, and other people are, you know, more private with it. So I just think it depends on the person and what they're doing. You know, it's funny because of our age, my age, I'm still not on social media. You know, I just never dove in that. I think it's a great way. I have friends who are comics who really promote stuff and get to build an audience with it. But it was never my way in of, you know, diving into social media and doing that kind of thing. So I just think it's such a personal thing for people to decide what they feel excited about, you know? I always found, for me, personally, I've always liked helping out with stuff or doing things, and I've always more so preferred not really having it be something public. It's always meant a lot to me when I don't think I'm doing it and feeling good about doing something, but I can also see the value if people feel like they're bringing attention to something and they're creating awareness. I was just of a time where I felt differently, where you just kind of, you know, gave and did those things, but you did it privately. So, but, you know, I think there's more than one way to the waterfall, and everyone has to do what they feel right about.
Yeah, well, let's see who is going to be speaking out and who's going to be keeping things on the private side as the week develops. Chicago is definitely ground zero for all of that this week. Our old pal Vince Vaughn, looking great, sounding great. I've seen a couple of episodes of his new Bad Monkey series that's on Apple TV Plus. New episodes are going to be coming out every Wednesday. I think he may have a hit on his hand. Let me tell you about a brand new number one movie at the box office this weekend, and a little more movie news. All coming right up. All right, we've got our next Dean's Night Out all set. It's going to be at the Paramount Theater in downtown Aurora. We're going to go out and see The Full Monty, this wonderful, wonderful Tony Award-winning musical that the Paramount will, you know, do its twist on. We're going to go see it on September the 1st. The way that we do this is we have a little meet and greet before the show, a little cocktail reception, and then we all go in and enjoy the show. you could be there. There's an opportunity for you to win a pair of tickets to join me for this by going to WGNradio.com/contest. WGNradio.com/contest. We'll pick 10 winners. Each will get a pair of tickets, and you'll be able to enjoy this terrific show out at the Paramount with me on September the 1st. Now, the sweepstakes will end on Sunday, August the 25th. So 1 week from today, you have a week to enter. WGNradio.com/contest. And good luck to you on that. All right, let's get to some weekend box office numbers here and a little bit of movie news. Tell you what I've been up to the last couple of days out in Hollywood, California, and in New York. I did the big cross-country journey this week to do some interviews. We have a new number one movie in America this week, Deadpool and Wolverine has been the number one movie for the past several weeks. And it drops to the number two spot in favor of Alien Romulus, the latest in the Alien franchise. Took $18 million this weekend, and it looks like it's going to be, when all the counting is done today, all of the experts are predicting that it will be the number one movie for the weekend. So congrats to them on that. Alien Romulus, Deadpool and Wolverine, this romantic drama with Blake Lively, drops to the number three spot. Twisters is number four, and the 15th anniversary re-release of Coraline is the number five movie, followed by Despicable Me 4, Trap, Inside Out 2, and this action comedy Borderlands, which, you know, by all accounts is just, you know, is bombing at the box office. It is not doing very well. It's not as terrible as some of the reviews have made this movie out to be. But, you know, if you're looking for some harmless entertainment, if you're a fan of Kevin Hart, if you're a fan of Jamie Lee Curtis, I like the movie because, Borderlands, that is, I liked it because of Kate Blanchett in the movie, who we normally see in these very cerebral, kind of very serious movies. And she is in full action hero mode in this film. Just, you know, shooting and exploding and, you know, going crazy in this movie. So if that's something that you think you might enjoy, I don't think it's a terrible movie. I wound up giving it Dean's List C, I believe, is where I wound up with that. So there's your top 10 movies at the box office. Coming up over the next couple of weeks, there are some pretty big movies that are on the way. One is called Speak No Evil, pretty good scary movie with James McAvoy. I talked to the cast of that movie a couple of weeks ago, I think it was. But yesterday, I was in New York City. I was in L.A. on Thursday at the Bob Newhart Memorial, and then hopped on that long flight from L.A. to New York, and got to New York and saw the new Beetlejuice movie. I'm not going to give you too many details about my review on the movie. I'm going to wait a little bit closer to when it opens, which is the first week in September, by the way. So we've got a couple of weeks on that. But I can tell you that Michael Keaton is back in the movie, if you haven't heard. I could tell you that Winona Ryder is back in the movie. I could tell you that Catherine O'Hara is back in the movie. It is an interesting concept in the film this time, in that Winona Ryder is sort of the principal character in the film. She has got a teenage daughter who's played by Jenna Ortega, who's very good in the movie. She's a first-timer in the Beetlejuice franchise. She wasn't even born when the first movie came out. But Winona Ryder is her mom. Catherine O'Hara is Winona Ryder's mom in this movie. And each have their own difficulties, and in many times in the movie, they have to conjure good old Beetlejuice to come and help them. And you know, the way that you do that is by saying the name Beetlejuice three times, and then Beetlejuice reappears. And Michael Keaton is he's back in full Michael Keaton mode with all of this. Doesn't even look like a day went by. You know, he's in full makeup, so it's not like his character would age at all, but he's quite good. Catherine O'Hara can do no wrong in my book. She is just the greatest, from her SCTV days to her days in the Christopher Guest movies, Best in Show, and all the rest, For Your Consideration, all those great mockumentary kind of movies. She's so great. And then, of course, an award winner, an Emmy Award winner in Schitt's Creek, playing Moira Rose, one of the great TV characters of all time. She was absolutely delightful. We had great interviews with everybody. And we'll be sharing all those interviews with you over the next week or so. So we've got that coming up. We've got lots of big movies coming up. And coming up in the next half hour, we're going to get into our Food Time segment, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. And, if you have been growing tomatoes in your yard, this is about the time when all the tomatoes, if the squirrels haven't gotten them, those squirrels or rabbits out there, all those pests taking one or two bites out of your tomatoes and dropping them to the ground. Oh, I could just wring their necks when I'm just carefully getting my tomato plants and waiting for them to ripen up and all. And then some pest, squirrel or rabbit usually are the culprits, come along and take a bite or two and ruin it all. But anyway, if you have, your crops out there, they are probably getting ready to be picked, and you're going to have all kinds of tomatoes, and what to do with them mode. And coming up on our Food Time segment today, I've got several really great tomato recipes, things to do with tomatoes that are just so absolutely wonderful and delicious, not the least of which is just making a great tomato salad, cutting up the tomatoes. I like to put a little tiny bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, a little bit of oregano, and some feta cheese in there with it all, olive oil, maybe a little bit of lemon, maybe a little vinegar, red wine vinegar instead. And it's one of the most delicious things that you can make, and could not be any simpler. But I've got some other recipes that are also simple and easy, and most of all, super delicious. Little preview of what I'm going to be doing on my TV cooking segment this coming Wednesday on WGN television. So we'll get into a little food talk coming up in our next half hour. Speaking of WGN television, by the way, wanted to remind you about some of my A-list interviews that I've got coming up next week. And they include, we just played the interview with Vince Vaughn. You want to see what Vince is looking like these days. He is looking, just happy and healthy and looking great. We'll share that interview with you on television coming up tomorrow, as a matter of fact, on the WGN-TV Morning News. Catherine Hahn will be joining me to talk about her new role, spinning off from the WandaVision the TV series. She's getting her own series out of that, WandaVision, excuse me, coming up. That'll be Tuesday on WGN Morning News. And then comedian actress Awkwafina is joining me on Thursday. We will be talking about her new movie, which is called Jackpot, which she stars with WWE star John Cena. Talking about her new role in that movie. So we've got a lot of good stuff still to come for you. So as I've mentioned to you both, I've been doing a little coast hopping this past week. I was in Los Angeles the early part of last week, and then in New York yesterday. last 2 days in New York with my 5-hour flight delay. Not that I'm complaining. I'm not one to complain, Schwani.
Never.
As you know.
I never.
I'm always.
I've always seen you with a smile on your face.
Glass half full.
You come in and shake my hand every morning.
Yeah,
and
big
say,
hug.
So good to be with you.
Big hug. Yep.
What a wonderful opportunity that we have to work together.
Exactly.
All of these years.
Yep. So I had a lot of time in this flight delay that I had, this 5-hour flight delay that I'm not complaining about.
You know, your picture is being circulated right now.
What do you mean?
Through the airports?
Through the airports. Have you seen this man?
Why? Because I was entertaining children.
You were entertaining children.
I was entertaining dismayed, delayed passengers.
Children who would otherwise be crying their eyes out
I was
and driving
to
their parents crazy.
Take people's minds off of a 5-hour flight delay, which, by the way, I'm not complaining about.
Did you do any magic tricks, too?
I wish I had some with me. Had I known. But I did do, what I like to do at the airports, I like to do people watching.
You ever absolutely.
You ever do that at
sure.
the airports?
Oh, yeah.
Never a dull moment there.
There is such a fascinating cavalcade of humanity in those airports that you just, you take a mental picture and, think what you want to think, I guess, about that. But here's what I noticed. This is my big trend that I noticed yesterday. Everyone's got a mustache again. Guys, of course.
Glad you clarified that.
Some women did, too. But have you noticed that, Andy?
Yeah, I've noticed more and more. I mean,
it's a stash thing.
I have not just gone to the stash. I continue to have the full full beard
going. Full beard, right.
Just something about the stash on its own on me doesn't look that good.
You know what? I think you would look really good in a stash.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I was challenged to shave off the mustache and leave the rest of the beard and did that.
Yeah, don't do that.
And that was an interesting look.
You look like Abraham Lincoln. Don't
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, that was an interesting look. Yeah, I'll have to get...
Schwani, what do you think?
I'll have to get permission.
What do you think, Schwani? I think Andy would look sharp with a mustache.
With a mustache, yes.
Yeah, they're coming back. I mean, I think it's, everything is kind of cyclical, as they say.
Is this going to be the new look for the show now?
Could be.
Okay.
I'm not going to grow one, because I'll look like Kenny Rogers if I. I was going to grow out a full beard because that's what all the young hipsters are doing. Now I think the young hipsters are
very full beards.
I think
Whitman looking beards.
I think they've gone full mustache now. Because all the dopey boomers have gone to beards also. So I think the young punks are all they're all going strictly stash now.
Strictly stash.
So I was going to do that, and then I let it grow out while I was on vacation, and I look ridiculous because it's all white. It's all completely white. So I'm not going to be doing it. But Andy's a young man. Andy should do it.
Yeah, I could. Like I said, I'll have to run that by the committee. To see if it's okay.
I think the missus would love that.
Yeah, I have a couple of TV appearances coming up too, so I want to make sure I'm okay with that. The folks at Channel 9 need to be able to count on me.
Oh, they don't care.
They need to count on me.
You'll look young and hip.
You've got me thinking now. Maybe I should try this.
Have you ever had facial hair?
Oh, yeah. I had a beard in the very late 1980s into the early 90s. Yeah.
Did I know you then?
Yeah, you knew me then.
Did I like you?
No, you never have.
Just checking.
Did I like you then?
Oh, you never know.
Good.
Someday Schwani's a lot easier to take than others. So.
That's good.
You had a beard, really?
Yes, I did. I did. Around 1989, 1990, yes. I had a beard. And it ended up really for me just being more work to keep it neat and trim than it would be just to do a shave.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work to groom them properly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know who's got a good beard on the show? Jack Hammer.
He does.
Producer Jack Hammer.
He's young.
He is. He's young, but he's got a like really nice full beard.
How long have you had the beard, Jack?
Like 3 years.
Okay.
I first started shaving in eighth grade.
Wow.
So it's been I find it easier to just leave it and trim it around the edges.
Yeah.
Did they let you have it in school?
In eighth grade?
Yeah, in eighth grade.
They did, yeah. That's,
it was the same year he got his tattoos and piercings.
Yeah, my tattoo sleeve. Yeah. I've been a degenerate for a while.
Have you thought about just doing a mustache?
No. I shaved it once and it was not pretty.
Really?
Yeah. In my opinion.
All right.
But if Andy does it, I'll do it.
Ooh. Oh, look at that. Yeah, it might take me like 2 months to grow the beard back, but that's, you know.
Yeah.
All right, let me know in October.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I have to look presentable for Happen OB, too, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
We should have them grow mustaches now.
Okay, let me know when you tell OB that you want him to grow a mustache. Real? Minutes away from the award-winning Food Time. That's your boy. Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. We're talking tomatoes today. You say tomato, I say tomato. I didn't put any tomato plants in this year. I was a little busy. I miss it tremendously. One of my favorite things of summertime, every summer, I put in my little crops in the backyard. Tomatoes, cucumbers, green peppers, always. And, you know, then I'll put other stuff also. But those three I put in very definitely. This is the first year in decades that I haven't put anything in. Just the schedule didn't allow for it. But because what I love, one of my favorite things of summer, is going outside, picking a couple of tomatoes, picking a really nice cucumber, picking a nice green pepper, and making a salad out of that. I'll cut up an onion. I've never grown onions. I guess it's kind of easy, right? I've never really done it. I have chives. I grow chives that come back every year, but that's completely different. But I like to cut a tomato, cucumber, green pepper, and an onion. Cut them up. Put them in a nice bowl. It's a Greek salad, so that's why I'm going into my accent. Put them in a bowl with some feta cheese, really nice olive oil, and some red wine vinegar, a little salt and pepper, a little bit of oregano. Oh, my gosh. That's the greatest salad. It is just the greatest salad. And for Greeks, it is it's a Greek village salad. There's, you know, the regular salad with lettuce and the Greek olives and all that. You can put the olives in this, too. But I like it tomato, cucumber, green pepper, onion.
Any chicken, beef,
nope.
Protein?
You can put it in there, but I don't. The traditional Greek village salad is just...
It's strictly a vegetarian salad like that.
It's a vegetarian salad. You know what some people put in? They'll boil some potatoes and put some, you know, cut up the potatoes and make it like a Greek village potato salad.
Some seasoning on the potatoes, maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, my gosh. You know, when you come home from work and you go out into your garden and you pick a few things to make a nice salad, and you know how much more, you know, like 50 times more delicious when it's right out of the yard, like literally it's been picked 5 minutes ago, and how delicious it is. It's one of my favorite things. I really miss it this year. I'll do better next year. I'll have to do better next year.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
Because tomorrow, is a day off for me, and I'm headed to... Michigan to visit friends and going to one of my favorite markets to get corn, cantaloupe, fresh fruit, fresh vegetables.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And grill everything up. Oh,
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
There's nothing better.
Yep. Yep.
So, you know, I got some corn. I think I was talking about it here? I can't remember if I was talking about it here or on TV. I think here, where I was talking about that corn that Spike Odell used to talk about all the time.
Yeah, we used to have an abundance of it around here.
They used to bring like 50 cases of it.
I know. Yeah. That was a Mirai?
Mirai sweet corn.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yes.
Mirai sweet corn.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Was it Twin Acres Farm?
I believe that's the correct one. Yeah.
Somebody told me that they don't produce corn anymore.
Oh, really?
They stopped doing it.
That corn was outstanding.
That was the best corn that I've ever had in my life until about a week ago. You know, Mike Jansen, who does the weather over on the Channel 9? His family has a corn farm, Jansen Family Corn, and Mike and his lovely wife, Kasha, sent me some of their corn, fresh picked, and it was also very, very, very delicious. You can't beat it when it's right out of the fields.
No, you can't. No. Another place very close by where we go, my friend took me to a farm right on the Indiana-Michigan line once, and we got peaches that had been picked that morning. That morning. Picked that morning. And what a difference. You're absolutely right. And also blueberry picking. Go pick your own blueberries.
That's a lot of work for me.
Listen. A lot of work for you. It's so.
Would you mind picking me a pint when you go out there?
Why, sure.
And if I'm remembering correctly, I haven't done it in years. Aren't the blueberry twigs, aren't they real like prickly?
Well, they can be if you're.
Am I thinking raspberries?
You may be thinking raspberries. Yeah, I've not found blueberries, the bushes, to be that sharp where you could puncture your skin or something.
Either way, it's a lot of work for very little yield.
It's wonderful to be out there in fresh air, in an open area.
Yeah, right.
Working the land.
Of course.
Picking the blueberries.
Smelling the cows.
Well, that too. Of course, you wonder sometimes if it's the cow. But, no, seriously, I've so much enjoyed that.
No, it's
I'm very much delicious. Looking forward to this time of year for that reason.
Oh, fresh peaches. Are you kidding me?
Yep. Fresh peaches in the fall, fresh apples, and I've got to stop somewhere and get ice cream, too.
You know what I made on TV this past Wednesday? Peach cobbler.
There you go.
I made fresh peach cobbler. I
haven't had a cobbler in years.
Schwanny?
Peach cherry cobbler? I haven't had it in years.
You would slap me right in the face. It was so delicious. You would go, Dean, this is so delicious. Whap!
But you never bring in anything for anybody.
It didn't last very long.
Oh, okay.
We had a very hungry crew that morning, and it didn't last very long. But you're right. I should make one just for us. I should make one, like, on a Saturday.
That'll be a first.
Yes, it will be. Andy and I will enjoy it greatly.
Yeah. Oh. Maybe we'll let you have some.
Yeah. Mr. Smarty Pants.
Keep talking.
You'll be out in the hall.
Yeah, you're not getting any.
You'll be facing the corner, too.
I got me some fresh peaches. Now, I just went to the grocery store, and it's you're right. When you get it right from the farm, 1,000 times more delightful.
You have to lean over the sink to eat them.
Oh, my gosh, they're so good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I cleaned them up, took the stones out, cut them up in bite-sized pieces. I had like probably 8 or 10 peaches that I did, and then I put them in a cast iron pan. I buttered a cast iron pan. The peaches went in, the fresh peaches went in. Some brown sugar, some vanilla, cinnamon, a little nutmeg, What else did I? Oh, cornstarch. A little cornstarch went in. Just mixed it all up, put it into an oven, 350-degree oven, for about half an hour. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot the cobbler part. I made up a, you know, Bisquick. Remember how our
good old Bisquick
used to make good old Bisquick pancakes or whatever, or biscuits or whatever. I made up a batch of that and then dabbled that on top of the peaches, just sprinkled it on top of the peaches, then put all of that in this 350-degree oven for about a half an hour. The Bisquick gets nice and toasty brown. The peaches, you know, cook in their own juices, and, you know, it makes it even more delicious and sweet. You let it cool down for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, and it's peach cobbler, baby.
How long do you leave the peaches in the cast iron skillet?
For about half an hour.
Half an hour.
In the oven, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it's a perfect, I mean, you could put it in a pie dish if you want, I guess, but I just did it in a cast iron pan. So I'll be out in front of United Center serving my peach cobbler to delegates.
Dean, the helping hand.
It's a way for me to promote my TV cooking segment, but also to say, welcome to Chicago. I made peach cobbler for you.
Do you have a permit to do this, sir?
Probably not.
No, I didn't think so.
People are telling me that they agree with me about blueberry P2.
Oh, really?
Two time cuts. That it takes too much work to pick blueberries.
I have so enjoyed it every time I've gone out.
Really?
Yes. Yes, I have. Okay. Right. On a nice day.
Yeah.
Let's do the show from there.
We can do the show from the farm. Yes. They would love that.
Well, Shawnee picks blueberries.
Yeah, I'll just sit there and wait for the rewards.
Andy and I just sit there eating peach cobbler.
And now, at 12:36, it is time to eat. Delegates from all over this fine nation, this is the time of day when we assemble to discuss all topics of culinary interest. Food Time is Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. The All Things Edible program, heard every Sunday at this time. And today we're talking tomatoes. As I had mentioned, if you are a gardener at all, if you put your tomato plants in, and I don't know anybody who does gardening that doesn't do tomatoes. It's got to be the number one, you know, edible plant, I would think, that people are putting in their yards. It's my favorite, although I didn't put anything in the garden this year. It's just, you know, one of those years where I just had too many other things going on and couldn't take care of it properly, so I didn't do it. So I've been relying on, you know, grocery store tomatoes, farmers market tomatoes, which are, you know, just about as good as picking them right out of your own yard. Grocery store tomatoes don't even come close. I don't care what kind you buy. Cherry tomatoes aren't bad from the grocery store. But the hothouse tomatoes, forget it. The heirloom tomatoes, I have not had good luck with heirloom tomatoes at the grocery store at all. Farmers markets are where I've had much better luck with tomatoes. And the reason why I'm bringing this up this year is because this time of year is when the tomato plants are going nuts out on in your backyard. So you probably have an abundance of tomatoes right now. So I wanted to go through a few recipes that I have, but most of all, I wanted to open up the phone lines and our text line for your tomato. You know, what are the best things that you do with tomatoes? 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. 312-981-7200. Now, somebody from the 847 just texted in and said that the tomatoes were not good this year. There was too much rain. Is that the case? Yeah, I haven't noticed. Not at the farmers markets anyway. I mean, I've gotten some really nice tomatoes at the farmers markets, but maybe out in gardens, you know, your backyard gardens, that might be the case. But I would love to get your best recipes, things that you do with tomatoes that are be great to share with everybody. Somebody texted in from the, let me see here, this is also from the 847 area code. My niece makes great tomato pie. Great tomato pie. Didn't send in any recipes or anything, though. Yeah, I've got a recipe, tomato pie. I actually don't think I've ever had tomato pie in my entire life. Tomato pie. Is it what I think? Just, a crust? Sliced tomatoes, crust on top of it, and you bake it, and it's like baked, like a baked tomato kind of thing. I'll bet it's delicious. It sounds really good. I would probably put some basil in it myself. It's just my taste. But yeah, if somebody's got a tomato pie recipe, or whoever texted that in, you don't have to give me like exact ingredients, everything like that. But just give me an idea about, some of the things that go in there. So, when we share this with everybody, people can give it a try at home. Here is, 847 area code. Oh, this is so true. A tomato sandwich. White bread, mayo, tomatoes. It's the best, says this text. That is a delicious, delicious, delicious sandwich. I'll go along with you 100% on that. 773 area code. WGN TV had Mr. Tomato featured. Very interesting. I will be buying from him next year. I have no idea who Mr. Tomato is, but okay. I'll look it up and see what we can find. Here is the 224 area code. Just out of the oven, roasted cherry tomatoes from the garden. That is pretty spectacular. I've done that with tomatoes where I cut them, put a little salt on them, a little olive oil, put them in the oven and roast them all up. It's basically, it's like a sun-dried tomato, but it just intensifies the flavor like crazy. And cherry tomatoes, to me, are already intensified flavor anyway. So I would imagine that, oven-roasted cherry tomatoes would be even better. Here's 773 area code, trying to clarify. Tomato pie, focaccia bread, focaccia and tomato bread is tomato pie. Oh, well, I've certainly had tomato-y focaccia, and that is super, super delicious. 312-981-7200. Christine, how about you? Hi, you're on WGN.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I have a really quickie recipe. Saute onions, a little bit of butter and oil.
Mm.
And everybody's got zucchinis now.
Sure.
Sliced zucchinis.
Nice.
And then you put your fresh tomatoes in there.
Oh, yeah.
Heat it up till everything gets nice and soft and wet. And then cover it with Parmesan cheese and all done.
Oh, my gosh. That's is so easy.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super easy.
Very good.
And delicious. And you know what? I'll bet you can serve that like room temperature or cold even, right?
Oh, exactly. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's
it. And it's good anytime.
Yeah, that's the joy of cooking this time of year. You don't have to turn the oven on. You don't have to, go crazy. Just saute a few little things in there. Would you put a little onion in there maybe also, or no?
Oh, yeah, you saute onion first.
Oh, you saute the onion first.
Saute onion first.
Okay.
And then, yeah, you have your zucchini cut up, and you put your tomatoes in, let the juice, all the tomato.
All right.
Make the juice. And then you put your zucchini in. They get soft enough to your liking. And then cover it with Parmesan cheese.
Christine.
And you can put, like, your fresh herbs from the garden, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some basil would definitely be good in there. A little parsley might be nice.
Oh, yeah. I got it all growing in the yard.
Yeah, but you know what? How are your tomatoes? Now, somebody said that the tomatoes didn't come in good this year because of the rain.
Now, my cherry tomatoes, I have yellow cherries. They came in beautiful. My neighbors, early girls.
Early girls, yeah.
They are phenomenal.
Really?
I don't even know why. And we both have the same light in the backyards and everything. She says they buried a dead dog there a long time ago. That's why her plants grow so well.
Natural fertilizer. I see.
Natural fertilizer.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my.
They buried a dead dog. Enjoy your salad. That's a riot. Christine, have a great day today.
And thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
That is hilarious. Hi, Mark. You're on WGN.
Yeah, hey, Dean. I got to just finish burying my dog here. Wait 1 minute.
That's right. We now know the key to delicious tomatoes.
Great idea. I'm going to try that.
Wow.
When I had way too much tomatoes, I take the extra, dehydrate them, and make tomato pesto. And I forget about tomato sauce for spaghetti or pizzas anymore. Little tomato pesto on there goes a long way.
Okay, so walk me through this
delicious
tomato pesto. It's what, tomato? Do you put some kind of like pine nuts or walnuts or something?
Yeah,
in olive oil.
Just like you'd make basil pesto, except sun dried tomato or dehydrated tomatoes.
Yeah. Okay. So instead of basil, you're putting in the dried tomatoes with usually it's olive oil.
Yeah, just blend it all up. But I add basil to it too, onions, olive oil.
And do you freeze it?
Walnuts or pine nuts, whatever.
When you make up a batch of this, if you make up a lot of it, will it freeze? And then you can use it later.
Freeze
on?
It in ice cube trays, put it in a baggie, and you got it all year long.
Ah, baggies.
It's very, very flavorful, very intense flavor, and it goes a long way.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to give that a try. That is a fantastic. I think I may.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're cutting out on me, but I just wanted to deposit that. Thank you.
I'm glad that you did. Thank you for the call. I think I may do that on TV because that sounds like a fantastic way of using an abundance of tomatoes by making a tomato pesto. That really good idea. Thank you so much for that call. Hi, Mary. You're on WGN.
Hi. I've got a wonderful recipe for Pomodoro sauce. I make it with fresh Roma tomatoes, fresh basil, garlic, olive oil, and I add a little bit of tomato juice to add more tomato to it and put it over pasta. It is and a little Parmesan cheese.
It's so simple.
The best ever.
It's so simple, right?
But you have to have
right?
the fresh Romas.
Yeah. It really, that's the like the basis of a delicious tomato sauce, what you
True.
Just mentioned. Onion, garlic, the tomato. The tomatoes make a difference, and the Roma tomatoes make a really, really delicious tomato sauce, don't they?
Right, right. And the fresh basil.
And the fresh basil.
Not the dried basil. Fresh basil.
Yeah. Do you can it? I mean,
Oh, no. We just have, it only uses like about 6 Roma tomatoes. It's just like one meal.
Oh, okay.
But it's so easy.
Yeah.
It's so easy. And it's so delicious. We wait for those Romas to get ripe.
Yeah. And it's, isn't it funny how, I mean, that sauce is so easy, yet people buy the pre-made sauce, which doesn't even come close in the taste, in my opinion.
Nope. Just like a fresh tomato in the summer versus finding one at the grocery store in the winter.
Wintertime,
not the same.
Yeah, you're 1,000% correct. Love your recipe. Thank you so much, Mary. Have a great day
today. You're welcome. Listen to you every week. Love it.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much. 12:48 now. 12:50, food time. Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. Talking tomatoes today, tomato recipes. I'm going to be doing some tomato recipes on my TV cooking segment this coming Wednesday on the WGN TV Morning News. I've got some fantastic recipes here on our text line, 331 area code. I take cherry tomatoes, roast them with olive oil, garlic, salt and pepper, toss it with angel hair pasta, fresh basil, and grated Romano. Good Lord, that sounds fantastic. I love that. Here is a tomato pie recipe that we were asking about before. Pie shell baked according to package directions. Half a cup of chopped onions. 3 or 4 tomatoes or cherry tomatoes. Roughly chopped to make about 3 cups. Well drained. Squeeze out as much moisture as possible. Basil, Gruyere, or Swiss cheese. A cup of mozzarella cheese mixed in with 1/2 cup of mayonnaise and Tabasco sauce. Layer the layer the onion, squeezed tomato, basil, and cheese mixture into the pie shell and bake at 350 degrees, 25 to 45 minutes until golden brown. This is the most delicious tomato pie, I promise. Oh, that sounds amazing with the tomatoes and the cheese and, you know, just the layers of flavor in there. That sounds fantastic. Thank you for sending that in. 312-981-7200. Alex, how about you? What do you have for us?
Hi, Dane. I think I've got a good one for you here. You'll appreciate this. My father was 100% Greek, and on Sunday mornings during summer when the tomatoes were in season, take a large tomato or two and reduce it down, cook it down in a frying pan with some butter. And when the tomatoes are good and done, getting down to that really smell, great smell.
Yeah.
Add 2 scrambled eggs.
Oh, baby.
Mix them in and then put crumbled feta cheese on top.
Oh, baby, yeah.
That's it. Just 3 ingredients. And the feta cheese melts and gives it a great tang.
Oh.
Then some cracked ground pepper on top.
Yeah.
Top it off.
Yeah, a little crusty.
Just 3 ingredients. A
little crusty.
A family classic.
A little crusty bread there, too.
Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It had to be imported feta cheese
of
from
course.
The Greek grocery store.
Of
had
course.
To be fresh tomatoes in season.
Yeah, the sweetness of the tomatoes, the tanginess of the feta.
The feta makes it.
Yeah. And, you know, pull it all together with the eggs.
Very simple.
That's fantastic. That sounds so good. I thought when you said, you know, my dad was Greek and he got the tomatoes, I thought you were going for a stuffed tomato there. You know what I'm talking about?
Nope. Scrambled eggs with tomato and
feta. You like the scrambled eggs, yeah.
So good. It all complements each other.
Yeah. Somebody had texted in, it's a little bit of a complicated recipe. I wouldn't say that it's an easy recipe, but, you know, stuffed tomatoes, stuffed green peppers. You've had that, right? If you grew up in a Greek
sometimes
house.
Sometimes with rice and ground beef in
Yeah. Also a great...
Gimista, I think they call it.
Gimista, is that something like
yeah.
that? Yeah. Anyway, stuffed peppers, stuffed tomatoes. Also a great use, but I love your dad's recipe. And to that, I say, Efaristo. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Dean.
Appreciate your call. Thank you very much. It's 12:55. Let me see what else we have here. Got a couple of people texting in gazpacho. Oh my gosh! If you have extra tomatoes and you're not making the cold soup, the cold tomato soup, gazpacho, do yourself a favor. Holy smokes, it's delicious. Tomatoes, cucumbers, green pepper, onion, little bit of, I put a little Tabasco sauce in mine. I also put a little bit of clamato sauce, and it gives it a nice tanginess. I think I have a recipe for that on our TV website. That's where I keep all of my recipes. And all the video segments, the cooking segments. If you go to WGNTV.com, you can find all those recipes. 312 area code texts in. Someone gifted me tomato jam from Iceland. Superb on eggs and so much more. That sounds delicious. Another 312. Trying to pawn off tomatoes to my neighbors. Surprisingly, not many takers. Who wouldn't want fresh tomatoes? I think you need to move. Whoever texted that in, you need to move. You need to get a better class of neighbors. Lots of tomato recipes here. Thank you so much for sending all of this in. 630 area code saying, I slice heirloom tomatoes, peaches, and burrata cheese. Layer it with fresh basil, salt, pepper, and sprinkle it with good olive oil and balsamic. So easy and yummy for the summer. Oh my gosh, that sounds so good. Thank you so much for all these great recipes. I'm gonna try some of these. And we're going to be doing some of these recipes on the TV cooking segment this coming Wednesday, 9:35. Every Wednesday, 9:35 on TV is when I do my cooking. I hope you can tune in for that. Monday through Friday, between 8 and 8:30, I talk with Bob Surratt over most of the same station. And we always have some fun talking about entertainment. And, of course, my regular entertainment segments on the WGN-TV Morning News. Talking to Vince Vaughn tomorrow, actress Catherine Hahn, actress-comedian Awkwafina this week. I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Thank you so much for listening.